Hello everyone, The Other Mark here. Don't forget we have got our first ever live podcast on the 29th of June at the Ball Inn in Thorpe Eslet, that is in Rotherham. It's free admission and it starts at 4 p.m.
Ish.
Enjoy the episode.
Evening boys.
Evening Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm The Other Mark. 3 pints Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a tequila sunrise.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Well, this is different, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Very different, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we say evening now to
no.
you? No, we just say hello and that's it. Just, okay.
All right. Yeah. We will. We've been sat here for a good few hours, haven't we, already
we have.
Today? We've been doing some stuff behind the scenes. It's boring stuff, but it's been quite funny, hasn't it, Mark?
It is watching you two, as in you, Mark, and you, Rob, together.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know exactly what well, I'm talking about.
The thing is, right, is you've got two people that literally... the way that they approach something, they always get to the same end goal, but the way that they approach it couldn't be more different. No matter what it is, I'd love to watch Mark and other Mark and Rob build a wardrobe
from IKEA.
Yeah, like a flat pack. Yeah, because it'd end up, someone would either end up dead.
I wonder if IKEA had let us go in and film
that
us.
That is an idea.
You know, when their store turnaround days and they're like building new sets and whatever. Me and you could go in and do one.
I don't think they'd want to do that. But I would half expect that even if you started to build something, Mark, the glass would be in before most of the panels were in. And you'd be like, hold on a minute, what's holding this glass in? Smash. Nothing. Nothing was holding the glass in. Do you know what I mean? That's how
literally,
I would see it going.
I arrived a bit later than everybody else to this, and obviously they were doing what they were doing, and all I heard was Rob trying to read through a step-by-step instruction of this thing that we were doing on the computer. And as Rob's trying to read, right, we need to do this, then we need to press this, then we need to press that. And all I could hear was other Mark in the background going, Rob, press it. And Rob going, no, Mark, we need to read this and see what we need to do. Just press it. Trust me, just press it.
You missed the bit out where Mark had pressed it.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say,
Rob
I was the step behind. I'm looking at them looking, going, hold on a minute, that doesn't align with what this is saying. No, Rob, because I pressed the button before. Well, so yeah. Where are we now then on these instructions? I don't know.
Just for a bit of context, and you guys won't be aware of any of this, but obviously this podcast is hosted somewhere on the internet, and then you guys can access it via our website or on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, or whatever streaming provider you listen to. We've been doing some work back of house, moving from one of those to another provider, so you're still listening in exactly the same place that you have been listening to up to this point.
Like being from Sky and moving to Virgin.
Yeah.
You still get the same TV programmes, but it just comes from a different place.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have just said that, Mark. What he said.
I could have, couldn't I? But he was thinking about how to deliver it while I was just delivering it.
While he was just waffling.
And fortunately, we don't do things like this too often because, you know, it'd be quite...
stressful.
Eventful, yeah, to say the least. But we got there, didn't we?
Anyway, how are you?
I'm all right, are you?
I'm all right, thank you. You boys
have
all right?
Have you chilled out?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. What have you been up to?
Me?
Yeah, what have you
You're
been
looking
up to?
At me, aren't you? Well, you know that I sold you some tickets, didn't I, for this raffle, for this...
Have I won?
Miss Philippines.
I won?
So I've got good news for you, right?
Yeah.
I've got good news for you.
Yeah?
I was there for when they did the raffle. Bad news is none of us won.
Oh.
So
like at playing bloody Euro Millions.
So at least I was there to validate it. Is that the right word? To validate it, to see if we won.
Yeah.
But none of us did.
Am I right in saying then that somebody has won a hotel stay in the Philippines... And somebody else has won
the
means of
home.
Getting there and nowhere to stay.
And someone else has won the flight to come back home again, but not the flight to get,
to get there or stay anywhere.
Well, kind of. This is what I'm going to go into. So I was there listening to what they were handing out, and I'm like, this is very confusing, but this is the whole Filipino community. So I was there for the day watching the fashion show, and, you know, it was a bit like a trade type show because there were loads of, like, you know, stalls out selling, you know, different Filipino foods and that. But it was all
chicken.
Well, not quite hard chicken, but maybe. But it was all very chaotic. So obviously, Aina's there doing her beauty thing, and there were five other girls all doing the things, and they were all doing...
What is their... When you said doing their thing, what is their thing?
Well, doing like a beauty parade type thing. So I know, I'm trying to think what...
So what, are they, walking around? Are they on a stage?
Well, this is where the chaos sets in.
Oh. But,
so like, it's...
You didn't go on a train, did you?
No. So we're outside. But if I give you some... Tell you where it was. So it was at Ripon Racecourse. So... I've never been to Ripon Racecourse. Have you guys?
No.
So
not.
Some of our listeners may have. So it's like a very small, basic racecourse type thing. Lovely, but it's only small. So outside they've got like a bit of a bandstand thing. You know, I presume where bands stand. I weren't going to sell that because I'm thinking they don't have bands at like racecourse. And I presume they were. No, but they may do. But I were going
to. No,
they may do.
No, they do.
Right. Well, if Ripon Racecourse are listening, they can clarify us. But I presume it's where they put the winners for the races of the races go. You know, when they give them
the
prizes. Prizes.
A trumpet to play on the bandstand.
I mean? So I presume that's where they go, to this bandstand, to give the, you know... For the, you're looking at me a bit weird, Kirk.
I'm just wondering, why did you presume that?
Because I reckon
most of the time they have what they call a winner's enclosure.
Which
looks nothing like a bandstand.
No, this is why I'm saying, have you ever been to Ripon Racecourse? Because
it
didn't look like they had a winner's enclosure.
Okay.
But it looked a bit like a winner's enclosure, but very small with a bandstand.
And it's called a bandstand. It's called a winner's enclosure.
These horses that run at this very small racecourse, are they Shetlands?
They could well be. I didn't see the racecourse itself. Well, I did a little bit through.
Are you sure you went to Ripon Racecourse?
Well, I wasn't on the racecourse. I was just in the sort of bit.
Mark, we did the dreams thing last week.
I know. But so anyway, so I'm there near this bandstand, and I said to Aidan, where are you having this fashion show? Oh, we're having it inside because it's raining a little bit. Okay, fine. So we all
a little bit in a little racecourse.
Yeah, it was only a rain
with a little bandstand.
It was spitting, right? So we went in. There's only like a small
everybody
cafe
in.
Thing. So we're all in there. So fine. I'm sat at front. I've got ready. One of her friends says to me, "Can you film?" One of her friends was in the beauty contest. I think there was only, what, six of them? Five or six of them. Yeah, fine. So I've got two films ready.
Was Sharon in from Barnsley?
She was there. So, and I'm like, okay. Then they said, right, we're going to start at 12:30. I'm like, fine. So this is 12:20. Gets to 12:25, 5 minutes, right, we're going to start. A minute later, she comes back on mic. Well, we're all going outside now because it stopped raining.
All?
Yeah.
All six of them?
Yeah, well, and the crowd that's watching.
Oh, and the crowd,
so,
right, okay.
So, you know, so I'm like, right, great, I've got my seat here. By the time I got up, obviously, the seats at the front had gone because I'm trying to...
It is hard getting up at your age, though, Mark, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I didn't want to go outside. So I get outside, and I'm a bit nesh. It's still raining
very
a little bit.
Yes,
nesh. A little bit nesh. So I'm outside. I managed to get a seat on front row. Sits down, bear in mind, I've got these phones, I'm ready to go. And I'm like, right, fashion show. Now, we've postponed it now till 1 o'clock. Like, but I'm outside. I don't want to go back
spitting.
Inside.
Everybody in.
So I'm like, right, I'm cold. It's raining a little bit. I'm like, I'm a bit hungry as well. I'm a bit thirsty. I need to go to the toilet, but I don't want
You're
to lose
You're a bit demanding, you, aren't you?
No, only in my little world. In my little world, I am.
It's like bloody going somewhere with Mariah Carey.
In my little world.
I weren't telling everybody, oh, we're cold. I'm just in my little world.
I want to sit at the front.
So anyway, it gets to 1 o'clock. And they're like, well, yeah, it's going to be on in 10 minutes. I'm like, crikey, I've been waiting here since after. So anyway, it comes, gets to
since
quarter
when?
Quarter. Past, gets to 1:15. Right, we're starting in 10 minutes. I'm like, she said that 10 minutes ago. Nobody seems bothered.
At this
bothered.
Point, Mark is fuming.
Yeah.
At this
like,
point,
going
Mark
off?
Is fuming.
Have
what
you
is
left him a TripAdvisor review?
Not quite yet. Not quite yet. So at this stage, I said to Aidan, I said, they're saying that models aren't ready. They went, no, we're waiting for her. So everybody's blaming each other. But when I said blaming each other, nobody's kicking it off.
Apart from you.
But well, in my little world, I'm kicking off. But nobody seems bothered because in Filipino world, everybody's calm. Nobody bothers. Everybody's chilled out. So anyway, they finally start at 20. Well, about 12:30 they start. Fine. Now they all stood round this side.
Half past 12. It was 1 o'clock.
Sorry, 1:30. My apologies. It's because
time flies when you're having fun.
It's because it originally should have started at 12:30. Yeah. So they all stood round this bandstand at the side next to bushes, so we can all see them
next to the bushes.
Yeah, because there's some bushes next to bushes next.
Yeah,
to bandstand.
Can you make sure stand on the bandstand next to the bushes?
And we could all see them. So she's announcing them. They all come out with their gowns on and stuff, and we're like, oh, round of applause and all this lot. And it compares to saying, this is sort of, you know, Sean from Wakefield. This is Aina from.
She moved.
I knew it. As soon as he said Sheriff of Wakefield, I could have counted Mark in then.
Is she not from... Did we not...
Originally, she was from Barnsley.
Barnsley.
Oh, was she? Oh, yeah. Right, okay, Barnsley then.
She moved.
Maybe she...
Where's they've been Wakefield? Waiting that long, she's moved out.
All right, so let's go back to Barnsley. So she's from Barnsley. So they come round, they do the thing, that's fine. Off they go. Then there's a singer comes on, he sings a Bruno Mars track, and then... And then they go
was
back.
He Filipino?
He was Filipino, yeah. Because they've said, no, do you know he's off Filipino, Bruno Mars? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're like, so she's compare woman's back on. Right, we're going to do next fashion show. So they boot it. Again, all very chaotic. I mean, I'm making it sound like it's very smooth, and it's not. Singer stood there, wanted to sync next song. Compare's talking over guy who's trying to sync song. Women are getting ready to come back on stage. And she's like, no, we're gonna bring girls on. Girls start walking on. He starts singing next song. I'm like, what's going off here? I'm like front row. Nobody else seems bothered. I'm like, what's going off here? A professional that I am.
Yeah.
So anyway, he sings
you're
a song.
You're waiting for him to say the buffet is now open.
So girls, well, I didn't want to eat any of that food that were going off there. So all girls turn around, we go back, sort of thing, shuffle back. So he sings his song. Then they come on, do next thing. They've got some different outfits.
What other
on.
Songs did he sing then, other than the Bruno Mars one?
Well, he sang a Tagalog song, but it was quite slow.
Right.
I didn't know any words to that. But everybody else said... but the rest of people said to know it. They were singing along and stuff.
And just remind us, Tagalog's the
Tagalog is their language, yeah. Along with Messiah, that's another language that they speak. But he was singing in Tagalog.
I've just got visions of you sat there with your arms folded, face on that it started an hour late,
yeah.
Face on that you haven't eaten yet, and then he starts singing it. I can just imagine you going, well, I don't even know words.
Yeah.
I can't even sing along.
Well, there were a couple of times I was shouting out, get on with it, you know, type thing. You know, because I'm like, get on with it, what's happening? So anyway, he goes off, they do the next parade, fine, they all do the thing, they're off again. Another singer comes on, this time a woman, she's singing an English song. What was she singing?
We weren't there.
I know, she was singing somewhere, fine, lovely song.
Did you not words to that?
I knew words to that, yeah,
what
but
was
I can't remember, I forgot. It was only a couple of days ago. So I forgot that. So then they did another parade, I think. Again, that all went fine, but again, a little bit chaotic. It's going to be in 10 minutes. No, it's going to be half an hour. And I'm like, what's happening? Still need to go for a wee. And then they've got a famous person from the Philippines, and her name is Gazelle Sanchez. Do you know her?
No, I've never heard
she's of her. Very famous. She's been in films. She's a comedian. She's an actress. She's a compere. Although I don't think she's a podcaster. Oh, so we could have got her on the show, maybe.
And what did she do?
Well, she started doing comedy.
Oh.
Right, but again, it was a little bit in sort of Tagalog and a little bit in English.
Oh, right.
But she was quite blue. She was actually talking about her...
Oh, not because
really?
It was cold.
No. Yeah, she was talking about that. Bear in mind, there's kids there. And I'm like, but Dan, you know me, I'm not a prude. I'm not like, you know, I'm fine. I weren't sat there shocked, but I was shocked that she was doing sort of bluish
that
jokes.
That material in that surrounding.
Yeah. But everybody...
Half in English, half in Tagalog.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, hello.
He thinks it were blue.
I'd have been sat there thinking, no, that word in English means.
Yeah. No, I knew it was blue because she was talking. Again, I'm not sure how far I could
go. On, she was blue because what?
She was talking about willies, right?
Oh.
And she was saying about how small Filipino men are compared to English men. And she came over with me to Mike and went, that's true, isn't it? What's your name? Where are you from? Oh, I'm Mark.
You went, I don't know. I know, Gaynor.
I said, absolutely. Of course it's true, you know. And then, of course, she went, oh, who are you with here today? I said, oh, my wife. By this point, she sat next to me. Oh, she's... But, of course, Aina knew her a little bit. So they started having a bit of a conflab in Tagalog. And they said something which were funny. And I'm going...
I don't know basically, what let me Mark, tell you what you said, Mark.
Yeah.
So, everybody listening to this right now knows exactly what that conversation was. Right, okay. Listeners, write in. Inform Mark what that conversation was probably between his wife.
So, I mean, I were filming this, so I've got video of this, so we perhaps should share on our socials. So that way, so she did a comedy thing, then she sang a song, then she got some more blokes up to do some dancing. So all that went off, and that's fine. Then she went off, and then they were doing the final bit for the presentation of the winner. right? We ain't got to raffle, but yeah. So fine. So by this stage, I think some of the girls had gone. Bearing in mind there were a bloke in this contest as well, for some reason.
As a bloke, or...
No, a straight guy. His name was Kevin. I know his name was Kevin.
Kevin?
Kevin, he was from Leeds. He was straight, and he was in the beauty contest as well.
As a man?
That's as a man, just
to be,
as a man.
To be a Miss Philippine?
Yeah, I know. This is what I'm saying.
Kevin from Leeds.
This is how chaotic what it
was. And he was dressed as a man?
Dressed as a man. Quite smart, yeah.
Right.
And he had different outfits on every time, you know. I was like, this is very straight. I mean, again, you can imagine, man stood there, sat there looking around going... I don't know what's going off, but everybody else seemed to know this is normal. This is what we do,
Mark,
and everything's normal.
Can you invite us to one of these next time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever been sectioned?
Listen, I need to be after what I saw the other day. So I'm like, okay, fine. So at this stage, Kev had gone. A couple of the other women's had gone. So I'm like, there's Aina left, Sharon from Barnsley, is it? We said Barnsley. Yeah. And another woman. Now,
Kevin.
No, Kevin had gone as
Kevin's
well.
Kevin's gone. Kevin's
when you say
off.
Gone, they've gone home.
Yeah, they've gone home.
And they haven't even announced who the winner is yet.
Yeah, exactly. So there's only three of them left. So they're on this bandstand on stage. So there's Aina. Now, what made it more confusing to me, and again, it's only in my world, they'd got numbers on them on themselves, but they've got, you know, rosettes of when you win a prize, you get a rosette, don't you, with like a ribbon off. And that's, to me, you only get them when you get, that's your position you've won, you come in. Yeah. So Aina had got number three on. Sorry, I tell a lie. She got number five on. Another girl had got number one on, and another girl had got number three on. But I was like, well, is that the positions they've won? No, they were just their numbers.
Where's two and four?
They've gone home. So I'm like, has Aina come fifth? Because she's got a rosette on that says fifth. And I managed to say, she went, no, that's my number that I am off. I said, well, that looks like a winner's rosette. She went, well, I don't know. That's just what we do. So again, more chaos. I'm thinking, you know. So anyway, they stood on bandstand. So
more chaos caused by Mark asking the question. Everybody else is okay with the fact that that's what they've got.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everybody else seemed to know what. So are you looking a bit perplexed, Mark? Are you going to ask me something?
Yeah.
I know.
I'm sat here thinking, have you ever thought, Mark, that you are the main character in The Truman Show?
I've never seen that.
And I'm sat here thinking, this is more bizarre than any of my dreams that I'd had in the previous episode. This is real life.
Yeah.
This is happening. I'm watching this with my own eyes. So anyway, they're announcing the winner. So in third place, they announced it's number four.
That's gone home. Kevin.
Aina Lane. And I'm like, what? Well, she's number five. So I'm like sat there going, I don't know. So Aina came third in this beauty contest.
Does five mean four in Tagalog?
No, she just mixed it up.
So Aina came what?
Third.
Well done, Aina.
Yeah, so well done.
Congratulations.
And they put the crown on her, right, and a ribbon on her, but fine. And then the second place woman was Sharon from Barnsley. She came second in beauty contest.
Right.
Now, I don't know if Sharon from Barnsley will be listening to this, and I hope she doesn't. But she should have come second because she went Filipina.
Yeah.
And.
Right. Let's just move on from that.
The clue's in the title of what the beauty contest.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll leave it there.
Okay.
Well, go on, sorry.
And then the winner was a Filipina woman. Mm-hmm. And. I don't think she'll listen to this either.
So what? So what has Aina won then?
Just the title of. Third place. And
what does the winner get then? What do they what
they just get the title
of what? First.
Of being Miss Philippines of
of where?
Malarkey or this charity thing
in Ripon.
Yeah, but what added to the confusion is the crown. The woman who came first didn't get a crown. The woman who came second got a little crown. And Aina, who came third, got the biggest crown. So they mixed the crowns up. So the winner didn't get. She's taken it. I thought it'd be plastic from Poundland or something, mm-hmm. but it's a proper metal crown.
Do you think they mixed that up as well and given her said third, but she actually won?
Yeah, I don't know what's going off. Then they started handing titles out for best, most photogenic, the most Miss Congeniality, whatever that means. So Aina ended up winning two. Another girl number second place won two. No, three things.
I'm just in shock that you actually pronounced a word.
And I'm like, okay, but I don't know how they because I'm like, well, who's these? Where's these judges? Now, listen, I know it's for charity. I know it's for fun. But I was trying to work out who's made these decisions, because, like, who's making these decisions up?
Are you going next year?
I think I am, for fun. I'm going to tell you guys, and we can do a podcast on it.
I think I want to be there.
So that was the competition type thing. I mean, end of the day, I think it's one of those things like where they want to give prizes out to everybody who takes part, because it's all for fun, really, end of the day.
Yeah.
And Aina were a little bit upset that she sort of win it, and I said, well, don't worry about it. It's just about taking part and raising
money. She got the biggest crown.
Got the biggest crown.
That's what I said to her. So yeah. She's got some good video footage and some photos. So that went day out. But coming to the raffle. So the raffle bit, again, a bit chaotic.
Let me guess, you win and you've got to donate the prize.
No, so they've got this tombola type thing. So they bring that out. Then they're getting various people up from crowd to come up to pick a number out. Then you've got people picking them out and they ringed in the number out. They're going, right, winning number is 0065. And it was like looking at each other because I don't know what my number is. And then another woman pulled out, and bearing in mind there's only about 30 people in crowd. Now, I know Aina sold loads of tickets, loads. So they're reading winner out of this, and they're going, are they here? And they're looking around as if, like, we can't move on until we get this winner. But the chances of this winner being here is slim. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, anyway, they read them all out, and like I said, the good news is I was there for the draw, but bad news is none of us won.
We didn't win.
So that was my day out. So
did you have fun?
I had fun. Yes, I had fun. I was cold.
Did Aina enjoy it?
She did enjoy it, yeah. She did enjoy it, yeah.
And that's all that matters.
She stayed the night before in a Witherspoon's near Ribbon Rescue.
In a Witherspoon's?
Yeah. They do hotels, you know, Witherspoon's.
Witherspoon's.
It's all the same to me. Right. Let's call it Spoon's.
Spoons.
Yeah. Spoonies.
Just before we move on, obviously, and just coming back to the... I want to say debacle of what we've been doing today. I didn't realise, and you guys might have realised, that people have been leaving comments on Spotify, like positive comments. And today, it's the first time I've seen them. So I'm just going to read some of them. Well, I'm going to read them all out, actually.
Cool.
So just to say thank you as well to them for listening. So Andrew Truman, a month ago, wrote the KFC advert. What? Why? Ludicrous. The only explanation I can come up with is that it's so nonsensical that it gets people talking until they decide they want some hot wings. Some of these are older than that. Yours, Mark. This was somebody from called C&M Gamble.
Yeah.
Your Here He Goes Again strapping. That's your Filipino one.
Oh, right.
One of the funniest ever.
Oh, really? Oh,
it were a very funny episode.
Somebody called Carr, C-A-R-R. Their own point of view. Shops like Temu, etc., could be aiming to monopolise the market. Then the prices will go up, and there will be no choice but to shop from them. Also, the material they use for clothes is man-made and nasty quality. I do have concerns that these online shops will become the only consumer choice. Great podcast.
Thanks,
Richard Cockings. 8 months ago, this one.
8 months.
I know. I
hope he's still listening.
Yeah. Well, I know. It says, "Oh, boys, you don't have to talk twaddle." But it all makes absolute sense. From a local who lives in your village, I'm new to podcast stuff, so how about a theme about IT and how it's easy for teenagers to deal with, but they never look at instructions when you're 50 plus, like me, you pick up the instructions and think, sod that, let's just fiddle and try and work it out instead. That's very much like me, though.
It's very much like you.
Did you write it, Mark? That sounds like you wrote
it. Yeah, it does sound like I wrote it. Somebody called Darren San has really put, this was the Mind Boggles episode. Really enjoyed the banter, lads. In response to Q&A, what do you think? Oh, no, that's we rewrite that bit. forget that. Dave, he was listening when we did the Gladiators, when we... with Paul.
Bloody hell, that were a long time ago.
A year ago, it says on here. Brilliant, very informative and amusing. Paul was a great character. And we got one from, Seb. Slightly biased, but best episode yet, lads. That was the Kendall calling one. Really enjoyed that.
Episode 3, that, weren't it?
Something like that, yeah. Obviously there's people leaving stuff, and I think now we've got this new platform, we can access stuff a little bit more easily.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Feel free to keep leaving your comments and questions, challenges, whatever. And
we love it when they contact us, don't we?
So we apologise if there's anybody out there that's made a comment or sent us an email we've never read out. We apologise because it's not that we just don't see it because we don't know what we're doing.
Mark's too busy getting confused over bandstands and bushes.
Yeah. On the back of that, reviews really do help us as well, guys. I know there's so many listeners out there that, you know, send us such positive feedback and stuff. But, you know, if anyone can find a couple of minutes to jump on, whether it's Apple Podcast, Amazon, Spotify, whatever it is, and leave us a review and a rating, it really does help us. When people say, you know, well, we want to support you, we want to support your podcast, there'll be more ways of doing that coming up. Don't worry, we'll talk about that later. But by all means, guys, if you do leave us a review, that really does help. It really does help. Thank you.
Hey, absolutely. Rob, you know what day it is tomorrow, don't you? You know what's happening?
You can't be having another birthday, Mark. Yeah. You've had enough of them already.
No, I'm slowing down now. I need to slow down.
I do know what day it is tomorrow,
good.
Yes.
I just want to remind you.
It's the 21st of June.
It is.
Which means I'm jumping 15,000 feet out of a plane.
Yeah.
I know.
Good.
I'm nervous.
Have you woke up in hot sweats or anything yet?
No, but every now and again, I think I've said it in previous episodes, as soon as I think about it, the overriding feeling is nervousness.
Why do you think I brought it up?
Yeah.
Because it's only tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm excited, but I am incredibly nervous. You're coming, aren't you?
Yes.
If I get up and can be bothered up and what have you. Yeah, we'll be there.
I'm nervous, but I'm excited.
You'll be even more nervous when you look to the front and I'm flying the plane.
Oh.
He'll gladly jump out.
I'd be even more nervous if I was strapped to the front of you. Knowing you were the one pulling the cord.
Yeah.
I'm
sure it's here somewhere.
Mark, have you read the instructions about to pull this cord? Oh, I don't need instructions, Rob. It's this one, the one that disconnects me from you.
That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
On a technical, you don't pull the cord, do you? Technical,
no.
You just
I don't
do nothing.
Think I do.
No, you don't.
You don't do anything, do you?
No. I don't get that privilege, no. They wouldn't trust someone like me to pull the cord, would they?
Yeah. Do you think, because I know a lot of these places, they sell like GoPro footage and stuff like that, so do you think you'll go all in on some
I've already paid for that package.
Because you
think, I don't know how many times I'll do this. I like to think I'd do it again, but probably somewhere...
If you survive the first one.
Yeah, if I enjoyed the first one, I'd like to think I'd do it again, but probably somewhere more like New Zealand or somewhere on a bigger scale,
Not a bigger scale.
Well, you know...
There's a bigger sky over there, didn't you?
I'm going to say the sky is the sky. You know that, don't you?
No, it's bigger in New Zealand.
Yeah. Why?
You know, maybe just a more picturesque...
New Zealand?
Yeah, somewhere that's just a bit... different.
It's not a sightseeing trip you're going on. You're just jumping out of a plane and falling.
Yeah, but ultimately...
You're not going to be looking around.
You're
going
to see the view beneath you, aren't you?
What if it's cloudy?
Well, then you're not going to get much of a view.
You've wasted your money.
It's more likely to be cloudy, though, I think, in Lincoln than it is...
Very true. Yeah,
maybe not. Maybe not.
I think you're going to love it.
Yeah, you will.
I genuinely... you know when people talk about it, and they say, oh, yeah, but when you do it, it's such a rush. I don't think that's something that I personally would enjoy. As in, I don't think... I'm scared of heights. I hate the feeling of falling. I hate that lurching feeling in your stomach. So therefore, as much as of an adrenaline rush, I'm sure it is, I just don't think it's something that I would enjoy.
Yeah.
Even when I go on the likes rides of like Tower of Terror
or Oblivion or something like that.
Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah, bless you.
Hay fever.
As much as I've been on the rides and I've done them, I don't like them. Yeah. I don't like the feeling of
them. I could just imagine, if I were doing that, all I'd hear all the way down is, what the bloody hell is that smell? Because I'd just absolutely shite myself.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
that might happen.
But I genuinely think you like that rush, that feeling, that adrenaline feeling and stuff. I think you'll land and be like, get me back up there again. I want to do it again. I genuinely think, on a serious note,
would you be nervous if you looked up front and I were flying plane?
Well, yeah, because you can't even fly planes.
I might be like, you know, one of those things where you pay for something and you do it under supervision from somebody else. Yeah. Like, you're doing a parachute jump strapped to somebody else. I could be like, I've paid for a flight lesson.
Hey, that's an idea. Do combine them together.
It's funny, though, right? I saw something on Facebook the other day that said something like 52% or 54% of British males believe that they could land a plane, like a commercial plane or whatever, in the event of emergency, you know, with instructions, like over the radio or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, do you think
52%?
Yeah, it's either 50 or 54%.
Right.
Do you think you could
land a plane?
Yeah.
I genuinely think I could do it without any instruction.
Genuinely. Without any instruction?
Yeah. Without any?
Yeah.
What?
Pretty much.
Oh, come
I think
on.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
No way.
Right. Not a Boeing, but you know these small little flights?
No, I said commercial.
I said commercial aircraft.
Oh, no.
I was thinking of a little, like, do they call them biplanes?
Biplanes.
Yeah, I think biplanes. I've been thinking, right, if I pull it back, it seems to be going up. If I push it down, nose goes down. Right then, we need to slowly go down and slowly go down and just keep going down and up.
Let me ask you,
I wouldn't have to slow down.
Hang on a minute. I get what you're saying there. So all these other dials in front of you, you're going, I don't need to take any notes of them.
Well,
Are you just going to joystick?
I've got to land this thing. I probably would want some help, but I genuinely think getting to the point where you're just about to land, I think the only thing I'd be thinking is when I've touched down, when I've got the wheels on the floor, I've got to work out how to put the wheels down. But again, I keep thinking of these biplanes where the wheels are just always there.
Yeah.
But once they're down, then I go, right, how do I stop traveling?
Well, that's the easy bit. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What do you
do? That's the easy bit. There's your feet are on rudder pedals.
Ah, right, okay.
Right, and you lean your feet forward. They're called toe brakes.
Right.
So you lean your feet forward and they're your brakes.
Right.
So that's the easy bit.
Pilot.
But I'm more concerned that you've no idea what flaps are.
No. Nope.
You've no idea what degree flaps are. You've
nope.
no idea how to slow down in there.
No.
Nope.
No idea.
So as far as you're concerned, you're heading to the floor, right?
Very fast.
At 100 mile an hour.
Yeah. It must be faster than that.
I can categorically tell you that if I was thrust into that position, the conversation would go something along the lines of, Mark, stop pressing buttons. Mark, stop. Yeah.
Windscreen wipers are on.
Indicators are going off.
All lights are coming and going off.
All yellow masks drop down. Everyone's on gas in there.
Yeah.
Doors are opening, closing, blinds are going off.
All TV channels are changing.
Food's ready.
Inflatable things are out of sight.
Doors are opening and closing.
You know what's happening at Control Tower, don't they? They're going, how's it going with Mark? Getting him down. We've hung up on him. We can't deal with it. He's on his own.
No, he's hung up on us because he's just said, will you just trust me? And he's hung up. Does he know he's flying away from the airport?
Yeah.
Apparently he's got it all in hand.
Yeah, the last scene going up at Bermuda Triangle.
He's going up. He's going up.
All
he's not
Mark
descending.
Is, trust me. Just trust me. I mean, on a serious note, no. Would I actually be able to land the plane? No, of course I wouldn't.
Under instruction.
Yeah, under instruction, I genuinely think I would be able to remain calm. Obviously, I'd be able to find the headset and hopefully find a button that allows me to talk and say, I need some help. Mm-hmm. You know, there is an actual thing that you meant to say over the radio. Isn't
Roger.
There? I don't know that either. Roger. Hello, Roger. Roger.
Yeah, got
Roger
that. Like,
help!
Yeah.
So, you see, I don't think that figure, I mean, obviously, I don't know which men they've asked, but if you sort of say, is the question in an emergency situation? This
no,
is
I mean,
key,
if you just want to go this, and like just punch yeah. the hell out of the pilot and steal the plane.
Well, what I'm saying is the emergency is the problem here, because so like 54% of men going, yeah, I could do that. But when they're going, hang on, I've got a plane full of people.
Hold on. I think the emergency situation is there's no pilot.
Yeah.
Not an emergency with the plane. So the plane's fine.
Fine. But the pilot's
not on fire or whatever. Yeah, unless Mark's providing
it. Yeah, the pilot's like that. Oh, I don't know how to do this bit.
Yeah,
don't worry, I'll come and help you.
That's the point. So the pilot's had, like, in the airplane comedy film, he's had fish for dinner, keeled over,
yes.
co-pilot's gone
yes.
or whatever, and they've gone, anybody want
to... He's gone home.
And now somebody like me or you has gone, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
And that's the problem I've got with it, because, like, you've got... Yes, there's people out there that can stay calm under stress. Mm-hmm. Of course there is. But... That sort of level of stress is on another level, because yes. you're not only fretting for yourself.
15,000 feet, probably.
Yeah, well, above. Exactly. You're fretting for your own life, but then you've got the pressure and the stress of, well, I've got, I don't know, 200-300 people on here. So I don't think that 54% of UK, British men, or just men
in general.
He
said in the UK.
I don't think that they... I don't think... I mean, thinking it and doing it's completely different.
That's the question. Yeah. They thought that they'd be able to do it under instruction.
Yeah.
So genuinely,
I couldn't, no.
So you don't think you could?
I don't think I could, no.
Well, I'm going to give you a bit of a fact. So during the day, probably yes. Because I don't know why.
During the day?
Mm.
But you couldn't do it at night?
No.
Because you've had a few drinks and
obviously it wouldn't apply in an emergency situation, but apparently if you're colourblind you can't fly a plane at night.
Oh right, okay.
You get a pilot's license but only to fly during the day.
Oh yeah. Okay.
That
must be something
sense.
To do with instrument colours or something.
Yeah, landing lights on runway or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see lights. I'm not blind.
Yeah, no, but
they are different colours, though.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
They are different colours depending on where the runway starts, where you're aiming to touch down on.
There we are then.
Yeah,
yeah.
Matters something to do with that.
Yeah, so I'd be parking in one at gates, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
I don't think that'd be your problem. More, I think landing the plane in the first place would be the problem.
Could you do it, Kirk?
Well, obviously, I completely agree with Mark. I think the thought of the doing it and the actual doing it are two very different things. Mm. However, I do have a flight simulator.
Yes.
At home. So there are certain aspects of it. Like if I was to sit in a cockpit, I do know what things are.
Yeah.
So for instance, I know that my feet need to go on the rudder pedals. I know that the rudder pedals steers the plane. I know about the toe brakes. I know what an angle of attack is for
attack.
Yeah.
Have you got machine guns on for it? you're sending missiles out.
I understand how to slow the plane down. I understand degrees of flaps that you need. I knew you'd raise your eyebrows at that, Rob. And so actually, I think I would at least sit there and go, okay, I know what these instruments are.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, now, whereas I'd be going, and what are that? What's that again? Now, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Now, whereas, do I think I'd be able to deal with the pressure and the stress of it? Who knows?
Yeah.
Especially if it's a Ryanair flight, and they ring in, they go, yeah, so we're going to give you some support, but first of all, we just need you to pay this £50 waiver for you flying the plane.
Yeah. The upgrade fee.
Yeah.
Are you pretty good under any emergency situation? Or do you remain quite calm? Or you're a flapper or what?
Well, look, I haven't been in many emergency situations. Mm. But I would say that the situations that I've been in which some people may find stressful, I have remained very, very calm. Mm. So whether that's I've been in 3 car accidents and remained quite calm throughout, like after them or whatever.
You're getting used to crashing, you mean?
yeah. I've been in a situation twice with bomb threats at work when I've been in charge. I've been in situations at work where we've lost like complete power and had to evacuate over 400 or 500 people. There was a situation where the hotel had to be closed down and evacuated by the fire brigade because the dam had cracked. That was not too far from the hotel.
Ulle, that's it, yeah.
Ulle. So the dam had cracked at Ulle and it was unsafe. So therefore, they'd worked it out that if the dam broke, it had come over the M1. And because the hotel that I worked in was in like a bit of a valley, if you like, it would fill this valley.
Well, I've got imaginations of like a tsunami coming over the M1.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, shopping trolleys and everything else.
So they had to evacuate that whole area and they had to close that section of the M1 down. And then literally there was people parked in our car park from like the emergency services and stuff. We literally, with binoculars, looking at over the thing, and we had to evacuate the hotel. And basically they'd worked it out that the water would come up to about the 3rd or 4th floor. Of the hotel.
Couldn't you just gone to the top floor and gone, we're okay now? Well, we'll be all right up here.
Yeah, well, yes, that's fundamentally what we would have had to have done. If the dam had broke, the staff that were remaining in the hotel would have had to go up to the 3rd or 4th floor, sort of thing.
That would have been deep.
Yeah.
Is that much water in Ulle Dam? I mean, I know you're not the decision saying that, but I do you not think, I mean, I know I'm going off on a bit of a, did not think they over-exaggerate things sometimes? Like that Ulle Dam, all that water. I hear what they're saying, but I'm like, I don't think there's that much water in there to go all their way to flood that. Because I know where Ully Dam is. I know where the hotel is.
Well,
I'm I think it just sort of.
I don't know why they'd lie.
No, I know. Listen, I get it. But I think emergency services sometimes over. Oh my God, everybody's going to. No, it's just going to be a. Yeah, that maybe that house that's next to it. But like I said, Ully Dam and where the hotel is, it's miles away. And there's not that much water in there. I mean, listen, I know what you're saying because I remember a little bit on the news, but.
I don't know.
But. I'm like,
yeah, there's not that much water in there, so Fire Brigade wasted all the time coming and telling you to get everybody out of the hotel because there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah,
there's no water in it.
I just think they over exaggerate sometimes with emergencies.
They were sat in canteen, bored. I know, let's go and evacuate a hotel.
Yeah, I think they do, though.
Speaking of water, how would you fare in a shark attack?
I'd be dead.
Would you?
Well, A, I can't swim.
You can't swim at all?
Well,
you can't swim?
No, well, I can.
I've been to a water park, were you?
Yeah, and was yeah, there...
You might do widths and lengths, Kirk does depths.
Yeah. Yeah, and at that water park, how much swimming did you see me do?
Yeah, you were reading a book, weren't you?
Yeah, in a water park?
You're hardly even in water.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good
point. We went to two water parks when we were in Disney. One... I've already told the story on the podcast where Rob persuaded me to get into the wave machine thing and I nearly drowned.
get into the what machine?
The wave machine at Typhoon Lagoon.
Oh, right, yeah. Today, where were I?
And I nearly drowned. And the second time was at Volcano Bay and we hired a cabana and I didn't take one step into water.
No, he didn't.
I laid in the cabana and read my book.
So what would you do then if
I'd drown.
You might not drown, you might get eaten by the shark. Would you do anything to try and bend off the shark?
Scream a bit.
Are you supposed to punch him on nose?
Yeah, you're supposed to poke him in the eyes or something.
I believe it can work, but apparently, if I got a book for Christmas a couple of years ago.
Pretty peed off. He punched it in nose to go, right, now you can get ready. Yeah.
You mean you're going to bash him with a book?
Nope. But I got a book that was about how to survive emergency situations. One of them was the flight one.
It sounds to me like someone's not got a lot of faith in you, Rob.
No.
Need to give you a book of all these.
It's really interesting. And I read the flight one. I can't remember a word from it, hence why I didn't know what to do. But I think, if I remember rightly, with a shark, you're meant to stick your fingers in its eyes.
Yeah, I've read that before.
Stick your fingers in its eyes. I don't know
it's going to hurt that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is to do with the pain receptors of a shark. It's in its eyes. So that's what you'd have to do. But I obviously, everyone would be petrified in that scenario.
What if it just did that then?
What's that? What are you doing?
You know we're an audio podcast,
right?
All
right. What are you doing?
What if it just did that?
What are you doing for the benefit of the tape? Yeah, but for the benefit of the tape, what are you doing?
That.
Mark is putting palm... Yeah.
He's putting his hand
straight in front of his face, but not flat, the other way.
Yeah, when somebody has to do that with two fingers and they go to put you in both eyes, you put your hand there and it blocks the fingers, doesn't it?
Oh, I've never thought about it.
And what if the shark did that?
Yeah, but
the
shark's not got fingers, has he?
Yeah, well, it hasn't got a hand. It's my fingers.
It could just be like...
You talking about the shark doing this?
Yeah.
Right. People wonder why I'm going green.
But anyway...
What I want to know is how do people get attacked by sharks? Surely they can eat music.
I think I'd fare all right. I think I'd put up a good fight. But I also think it would happen a lot faster than what you'd expect it to happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you actually had enough, able to even do it, I don't even know if I'd dare stick my fingers in its eyes.
No, I know.
You know, you're thinking...
That's really going to pee it off.
I'm about to die... But I just can't. I don't like the feeling of what it might feel like. See, if I stick my fingers in these.
Mine wouldn't be that. Mine would be more about peeing it off a bit more, getting it angry.
See, I think the people who do survive shark attacks don't. They generally don't say, "Oh, I put my fingers in its eyes." I think they just look at it. They just, they just moved it, to that direction.
He had one arm and it had had enough.
I think people who survive. I think it's just they're just lucky to survive. I don't think they do anything, do they?
No.
You know, they don't go, "Oh, yeah, I did this, and I kicked him in balls, and I put my fingers in it." I just survived. I was lucky.
What about if you accidentally drove your car up a bridge into deep water?
Accidentally?
Why are these all to do with water?
Yeah. I don't know. They're just ones Now you've started it, I'm thinking, well...
Because Kurt can't take part in any of these swimming
ones. No, but the point of it isn't the swimming part. So you're in the car, and your car's going underwater, so water's kind of starting to seep in.
Yeah.
But would you know what to do to
well,
get out
of the car?
Well, you're
supposed to get your window down as soon as possible, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because you can't open a door underwater.
Ah, yes.
Because
no,
of the pressure
you?
Of the water.
I'd be buggered. I'd just get electrocuted in Tesla, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Everything would just turn off and I'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
But again, it's the classic of, while you go over this cliff or whatever, are you going to go, oh, I need to open windows? I mean, would you think like that?
Yeah, because back in the day, you could just put your arm down and just start winding window down,
yeah.
couldn't you?
Yeah.
Whereas now you're relying on electrics. I don't know. I think the main thing is would you panic in any of these scenarios and just succumb to the fact that, oh, well, I'm going to die.
My first thought would be, she's going to kill me.
I may as well sit here because I'm not facing it when I get home.
Yeah.
I get what you mean, Rob. I'd like to think that I can be quite logical and try and stay in a logical mindset. My problem is as soon as you start mentioning water, as soon as you start mentioning something to do with water, I don't think I'd be able to concentrate on anything else because I think I'd just be that...
Because you can't swim.
Petrified that's it, I'm going to drown. Yeah, and that's it. I won't be able to think of anything else.
Yeah, after this point, how do I do the bit that you would deem as, I've just got to swim away.
Yeah.
The swimming away part would be the bit that you'd be like, oh my gosh, what?
Yeah. I mean, I can swim, as in if I fell into... a puddle. If I fell into some water and I needed to swim to get to the edge of that, I can do that.
Here's a question then: if you were in a bank and it got held up at gunpoint, let's say at gunpoint, would you be brave enough to tackle them? You know, they shout, they come in and they say, "Get down! This is a mess up,
a stick up."
You know, and everyone hits the floor and they say, "Don't move." Would you be thinking, I can, there might be an opportunity where you think, I could tackle him. Do you think you'd dare get up and tackle
someone?
Well,
I think the simple answer for that, I'd probably think I'd like to, because I'd be really annoyed.
Because he's really messed up my day.
Because he's
you
messed up my day.
You have got to be kidding me.
And of course, I don't like bad people doing bad things.
Yeah.
But then what would a sensible head would kick in and go, well, what would I personally get from this, apart from being, if it goes well, being a hero? What am I going to get from it? Because they're not robbing me of my money.
I think
so. Why get involved?
I'd be summing up the what's the word where you've got like
chances.
Yeah. If I sit here and don't do anything, am I more likely to survive this and everything will be okay?
Yeah.
Or is it probably imminent that I'm probably going to die here? In that they're probably going to shoot us all anyway. So then I think that's when I'd be thinking, I'm probably going to die anyway.
Get the book out. 101 things to do in emergency situations.
Yes. Yes. You know, you're thinking, what? If I'm going to die, then I may as well die trying, rather than just lay here and take it lying down.
Yeah.
For want of a better word, do you know what I mean? oh, the guy.
Well, I get you're right, but it depends on the circumstances. I mean, if it's a British bank and they're coming to rob them, then it's unlikely they're going to shoot you.
Mm.
But if you were getting robbed in another country and they've got machine guns and depending on who's robbing the bank, then there's a chance they might shoot you. Yeah.
I did.
You know, so it's...
I have thought about these things. I've mentioned it again before on the podcast that one of my favourite books that I've ever listened to is End of the World Running Club.
Yeah.
And that's about a story about... I'm not spoiling anything. It starts with basically an asteroid in Meteor. Is it Meteor?
Meteor.
What's the difference between a meteor and an asteroid?
One's bigger, isn't it?
Is it? Anyway,
I think so.
That it hits Earth and obviously causes you know an issue, and it's all about the survival of a normal bloke and how you know he's separated from his family and blah blah blah. And I have thought about it before, like how prepared would I be physically and mentally to be able to cope with something like that. Mm-hmm. I have thought about that, and I have genuinely thought that the likes of Mark, for instance,
me,
no, trust me, the other one.
Oh, okay.
I do actually think I'd do really well in them situations.
Yeah,
and I genuinely do.
For
think
what
that.
Reason do you think you'd do so well?
Because he'd just bore
the people
just,
doing it.
Like,
what's that smell?
because I think of his tenacity and I think of his ability of being able to adapt and being able to just get on with things. And I think in emergency situations, stuff like that, you've got to be able to take action. You've got to be decisive on what you're doing and weigh up the odds of probability. And I think that's how Mark lives his life. You know, that whole when we
is this
when,
likely to kill me?
Yeah, when we for instance, because I know us three are similar to a degree. We like to follow instruction and follow a plan and follow a process and stuff. And Mark's not. And the thing is although sometimes we could have a bit more of a stress-free process of that going through it, it will also take us twice as long to do the same job.
Yep.
Yeah.
And whereas Mark weighs up the idea of probability, what's the probability of me just pressing that and it working?
Yeah.
Yeah? And that's it. And I think that combined with Mark's looks after himself quite physically and blah, 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 I think no disrespect to any of you two, I think in that kind of scenario, Mark could outlive us all.
Yeah, I think, the situation I think of more than anything is a terrorist attack on a plane. Mm-hmm. Because in that scenario, straight away, I'd be thinking, the chances are I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason that they've taken it, they're probably going to use it for a bad thing.
Yeah.
So I would be thinking, right, I'm going to die. So am I just going to sit here and let it happen, or am I going to try and do something about it? And I genuinely do think in that scenario, I would absolutely act. Now, based on what you've just said, yes, Mark might go, yep, I'm going to do it, stand up and do it. Whereas I'd be thinking, right, how do I do this? How do I do that? Where am I going to go with this? Then what do I do? And now do I do that? By which point, it's probably too late.
Yeah.
But I definitely do think that I would want to take action, stand up, and do something.
Yeah.
Do you know, you just reminded me of something, actually, and I absolutely bricked myself. And I'd got my two daughters, and we'd gone to Meadowall to buy Helen something for Christmas. Obviously, it runs Christmas. And we were sat in Oasis. And you know, you've got like the... For those of you that don't know Meadowall, it's like a big food hall. All the vendors around the outside, aren't they? And all the seating's in the middle. Well, we were sat on the outer ring of that area. So there's like a... Almost like a bar, isn't there, that you can put your tray down and you can stand and eat, or you can sit on the stools and eat. And we were sat there eating. I think we'd had a McDonald's or something. And there were a guy. And he walked past and he got... You know... a suitcase on wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Acting suspicious, were
he? He must have gone past five or six times on his own with his case. And bearing in mind, it's absolutely packed.
Right.
And I'm thinking, obviously, as you walk around at Christmas as well, Meadowall, you tend to see armed police, don't you? Because obviously, they're on a bit of an alert. Mm-hmm. And this guy keeps walking past with this, and he's on his own, and he's not doing anything other than walking around with this great big bloody suitcase on wheels. And I were absolutely bricking myself. And I've not told my daughters this.
And was he looking a bit shifty as well?
It just didn't look like he was doing anything particular. Okay. He was just walking up and down with his suitcase. Yeah. And I'm thinking, what if? And honestly, anyway, so I said to the girls, like, come on, we need to make a move. So we ended up walking and eating us food as we were
and they
leaving.
They didn't know you. They didn't know.
My heart was absolutely racing.
Did you report it?
No.
Why?
I don't know, I don't know. I suppose there's a risk, isn't there, of not wanting to offend somebody?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think we have to get better at that, though, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't just mean about stuff like that. I mean, I remember, again, I'm going back a bit, and I was driving on the motorway, and I passed under a motorway bridge, and I noticed that there was someone stood on the bridge. Now, obviously, you see this quite a lot, obviously, but some of it just didn't feel right.
Yeah, it didn't look
right. There was something... And I did the same thing. This battle in your head of, I don't know what's happening, blah blah. But I convinced myself that if I've noticed it, I drive on the motorways all the time. I see people on bridges all the time. There's got to be a reason why
you thought that were a bit
thing has jumped on me.
Yeah.
And I rang police, and I just rang. Is it 101?
Yeah.
And explained it to them. They were like, that's absolutely fine, but I am going to put you through to 999. They put me through to 999. I explained it. I explained whereabouts I was best I could. And they were just like, we'll get a unit straight there. Thank you very much for letting us know. Now, obviously, I know. Sorry, guys. I don't know what the ending is. I don't. Yeah. But I did think to myself, the worst case that would have happened there is a copper's going to go to that bridge and that person's going to be like, I'm absolutely fine. I'm just eating a sandwich. I'm waiting for an Eddie Stobart, lorry, to mark it off or whatever. And that's absolutely fine. But that's the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Well, it could be worse. They could get to a bridge and nobody be there.
Well,
and
they're going,
and then police
on.
Are going, is this right bridge? Do we need to check other bridges?
Yeah.
And then they're spending half an hour looking for the bridge.
Yeah. But on the flip side, me making that call could have saved someone's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that, I think we have got to get better at stuff. We see it all the time, don't we? Like, stop it.
See it,
stop it, or something like that.
See it, say it. Report it,
or whatever.
Stop it, tidy up.
See it, say it.
It is an interesting thing, though, because I've this has happened.
Sort it. We didn't say that. We said report it.
Oh, you guys said so. Anyway.
This is something that I've done at work before, and it's a bit of a strange one, but people, I'm certainly not a worrier, but I always think of these things. I start work really early, right? And if I'm starting work at 6 a.m, that's not particularly really early, but start work at 6, and let's say everyone gets to work, but one guy's not arrived at work, and all lads at work, they don't even think anything of it. Well, he's overslept, and I'm always the one that goes, I'm going to ring him, and they're like, why are you ringing him? Well, because I want to find out if he's actually awake, because he might have overslept, and if I ring him, then if he has overslept, I can tell him, you've overslept, you're late for work. But the other thing is what if he has come to work but hasn't made it to work? You know, winter months, it's pitch black, icy outside, there's not many people on roads, they might drive down some country lanes and something's happened and they've had an accident, and I it always bothers me. Well, when I think I could try and ring them, not get hold of them, then I start worrying even more, going, well, now I can't get hold of them.
You say the bow, if this person doesn't turn up, is the line manager not doing anything? Surely line managers are going, well, Dave's not...
Am the line manager.
Oh, you are the line... Oh, you didn't make that clear,
instance,
I'm sorry.
I was a supervisor
on
shift.
I'm sorry.
And there's very few people at work at that time, so it's like, job to know, well, why is he not at work?
Yeah, well, sorry to interrupt again, but if you are the line manager, then that's your responsibility to ring him. Well, so you're saying something that you should be doing anyway.
I think it is, but on other occasions, no one's rang me. When there's been occasions where I've overslept.
Your line manager should be ringing.
My alarm's gone off and I've snoozed it. I don't know what I've done. I've woke up and gone, why's my alarm not gone off? And no one's rang me. No one's checked to see where I am. And then I've rang and gone, I'm so sorry, I'm running late, I'll be in half an hour. But it does play on my mind that the worst case scenario, something could have happened to them, and should I be ringing them to make sure that they're all right? And you know,
but I said this in front of my kids or whatever, and they go, oh, Dad, you're so dramatic.
Really? Well,
you're talking about that with the bridge. I've actually talked to a guy who had been stood on a bridge. Me and Ellen were nipping to Morrison's. It was a few years ago now. And drove past, and you know Bridget Brown with this lane here?
Yeah.
On the way to Morrison's. Car were parked up, and the guy was just looking up at the side of the bridge, and I drove past, and obviously Ellen were in passenger seat, and I were like,
it didn't look right.
Guy,
yeah, it looked a
why
bit.
Is that
yeah,
guy's just stood on bridge. And she went. Well, what do you mean? I went, well, it's not really a place to stop. Do you know what I mean? Because if you do park your car there at that bridge, you've got, you know, it's not like a lay-by or anything. You've got to go around, you know, and it's a narrow country lane. Anyway, so we got to Morrison's, and I went, something not right. Anyway, we're driving back up, and as we were driving back up, his car was still there, but he was in the car. Why is he still... And bearing in mind, probably half an hour had passed. So I said to him, I've got to pull over. So I just pulled over and I went and spoke to him. And I said to him, everything all right? And he looked in absolute despair. He'd lost his job. He was down on his luck, struggling to find work. He'd got no money. And I was like, wow. I said, well, do me a favour. I said, don't you be getting back out of this car and doing out with that bridge. I said, there's people out there, regardless of what you're thinking of yourself at the minute, they will be living with that for the rest of their lives. And I said, you know, I appreciate what you're doing from your own point of view, but just think of, you know, your family and your friends and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, he agreed, and I said, well, do me a favour, follow me up the lane. So, and he agreed to, and he followed me up, and while he was following me, I took his reg number, and I rang police, and they went to see him.
That's a good thing to do.
We were actually living with his parents. He weren't much younger than me.
It's like what Kirk said. You could have quite easily just drove on by and thought, I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
And it won't be that.
Yeah. And they rang me back and they said that his parents were really,
you know, happy that obviously they weren't aware of how down in his mood he was, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, so.
Time at the bar, please.
So if an earthquake started right now, Mark.
Me, yes.
Yes, you.
Yes, yes.
Where would you go?
Where would I go?
So a big earthquake started right now. What would you do?
Oh, I don't think I'd do anything. I'd just...
Sit there.
And,
okay.
And make Rob, sure I'm not... If you're talking about right now...
Right now.
But I'd just make sure I'm not under near any buildings and try to get some open space.
So you'd go outside?
Yeah, but I'd try to move away from these houses.
Okay, so, right. So this is what I asked. What would you do? We've gone from, I'm going to sit here and do absolutely nothing, to,
I'm going to leg it.
Well, there's some open space nearby, so it's not far, so I'd just go there.
You go to the field at the top of the road?
Yes, basically.
Right. Right. Rob?
Under the bar.
Under that bar?
Under that bar, because it's made of wood. Yeah. It looks pretty sturdy.
Yeah.
Quite a strong worktop.
Mark built it.
That's all right.
Okay.
I think he had help from Rackham.
Yeah.
I'd get under there. It looks pretty sturdy.
Yeah.
And I'd get under there.
Yeah. Mark?
I'd be pulling Rob from under the bar because it's next to the fridge where all the beer is.
And you, Kirk?
No, what would you do? What would you do, Mark?
I suppose it depends how bad it is.
You can't go under the bar because obviously Bob's there.
I wouldn't go to that field up there. I'd go to the field that's literally 6 feet that direction.
Right.
There's a big field behind
right,
you.
Right, it's really bad. The entire thing's rocking, stuff's falling off walls. It's bad. Where are you going?
That sounds like a normal Saturday night in here.
Where are you going?
Just open space.
Yeah.
Kirk?
I'd run into the house.
Yeah?
Into the house?
I think that would be the worst place to go.
Absolutely not.
Why?
Absolutely not. I'd run into the house and I...
You do
would...
know we've not got any ice cream, don't you?
Yeah. I'd run into the house and I would... have you got a bath?
Yeah.
I'd get in the bath.
What, with the ice cream?
I'd go into the house and I'd get in the bath and I'd try and find something to cover me up in the bath.
What would you find to cover me up in the bath?
A piece of wood, anything.
A piece of wood?
Kick a door off its hinges, whatever it is.
Can I just ask, is this something, because like Rob said, it's probably, to me, that's the worst thing you could ever do. So have you read somewhere that that's a good thing to do, or that's just what you think?
That's what I've read. Really? The earthquake, yeah.
And I think that's terrible.
The bricks are just, it's just mortar, it just crumbles.
I mean,
as soon as it shakes, it crumbles.
The last thing I'd
want to
be doing is going into a building, going upstairs in that building.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's only this roof above us is probably made of something tin with polystyrene on top and tin. So
yeah, there's nothing in here that's going to...
It's all wood, by the way.
It's what, all wood?
It's all wood.
I'd just get under that bar. No, there's nothing above us that's that heavy. I'd get under that bar and hope that would protect me if it fell down.
I mean, if we're honest, I mean, you're saying if it happened right now in UK, aren't you?
Yes.
So if it happened in UK, I don't think anybody... We do what we do... Usually with fire alarms in buildings, we just go.
Ignore it.
We just ignore it and go, well, I don't know what that is, and just carry on. Because that's what we do.
I've just got the image of Kirk running around upstairs, turning bath taps on, looking for soap, looking for bubble bath. I'm going to have a bath. Good time as any.
The bath bombs, yeah. I don't know why you would do that. That seems
that's what
really.
I've read. That's what I've read.
Sounds terrible.
Is that or standing under a door frame?
Under a lentil of a door, yeah.
Yeah,
I can see that, to be fair.
Yeah.
Is it time?
I think it is.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh,
I'm just so excited. Oh. Come on. He's nearly there. The Wheel of
Features. So before we spin the wheel then, I can't believe that you guys didn't get the...
for really?
You really don't know why we didn't get it?
What did you say?
I didn't say anything. I just think I knew it, but I can't remember.
Hold on then. I think I'm close. I think I might know it. But I can't remember it.
Don't get like me.
Does that make it a close guess, does it?
Well, yeah, because I do know it.
Oh,
but I can't remember.
Can we hear it again?
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
I really don't know.
I've got no idea.
I think this is the easiest one I've done to date.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you kept doing that funny bit in the middle and I'm not going to get that.
There's a bit in it where it almost sounds like Three Blind Mice, and then once I've got that in my head, that's all I can think of.
Go on then, put us out of his misery.
It's Zombie by the Cranberries.
That's it.
What's in my head?
it in my head. Zombie.
It's that bit. It's that bit. Yeah.
And is that what you were thinking of, Mark?
Well, I saw that. I knew that bit. That I don't think I know that from a song.
Yeah, of course you did.
I'm spinning
it. Right. Are you ready?
Yeah,
I'll spin the wheel.
Ready. Mock spinning it.
Yeah, it takes you too long. It takes you too long to get up, Mark.
It does, it does.
Here we go. Right. Are you ready?
Ready.
Ooh. What's it gonna be? Oh, is this close?
For a while.
We haven't done this for a while, so are you ready for it?
I can't believe you're still alive.
Well, I'm on the list today.
I'm alive. I'm already dead. Come alive. Be quick, I'll be dead. Staying alive, staying alive. It's dead and gone, dead and gone. Born to be alive, I hope to be alive.
So, dead or alive, you know how this works, don't you guys?
You keep defying physics.
I do, that's right. So I'm going to read out some famous people's names, and you guys have just got to decide amongst yourselves if they are still alive or indeed they are dead. It's that simple.
Okay. So, or they're dead or alive.
Oh, we're dead or alive, that's hence the title. So you've got a choice today, guys. I can have you give you a list of entertainers, or I can give you a list of singers. Yeah, but entertainers are a bit more, you know, generic, aren't they? Singers are just...
Let's do entertainers.
Because I don't know many singers that tell jokes.
Let's do entertainers then.
Do you want to do entertainers?
Yes.
Right, so entertainers.
Entertainers. So all these people I'm going to read out are all entertainers.
Okay.
And they're all either dead or alive.
They're alive or they're dead.
You guys have picked this up.
Or they're not dead.
You guys have picked this up so well.
So if they're dead, they used to be entertainers.
That's right.
And they used to be alive.
Yeah, that's, you guys, have got, you're on this. You've
so
got
they
it.
Can be both?
What, dead and...
They were dead and now they're alive. No, they were alive.
No, they could be
now
both. They could be both. They can be dead and an entertainer. And alive and an entertainer. Right, so are you ready?
Yes. Yeah.
So we'll do first one. Jimmy Tarbuck.
Ooh.
Right. Rob, do you know who he is?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I mean,
well, he was a comedian, weren't he?
Yeah, a comedian.
Entertainer.
It was a little bit like Bruce Forsyth. So, Jimmy Tarbuck, is he dead or alive?
Okay. Yeah.
Second one, then.
He was a little bit like Bruce Forsyth. I like that, Mark. Change my answer.
Okay, next one. Ken Dodd.
Oh.
Is he alive or is he dead?
Okay.
Yep. Ken Dodd's dead. Dad's dog's dead.
Is that a tongue twister?
You try it.
Ken Dodd's dog's dead.
Ken Dodd's dad's dog's dead.
Oh, his dad...
Yeah, Ken Dodd's dad's dogs died.
Ken Dodd's dogs.
Ken Dodd's dad's dogs
Ken
died.
Ken Dodd's dad's dogs died.
Yes.
Yeah, now say it faster.
Ken Dodd's dog.
Ken Dodd's Doris.
I'm better at that. She sells shells
no,
on.
You're not. No, you
know. Next one.
Next one. Some of you might not know who he is. So, Barry Cryer.
Oh yeah.
No. Now, I know. I didn't think Rob would know. Do you know him, Mark?
I do.
Yeah. So Barry Cryer, who was a comedian. He was mainly a writer. He wrote a lot of stuff for Two Ronnies, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got my
so
answer.
That's,
Love the way that you explain it all in past tense.
Well, you know what?
Barry Cryer's dad's
I realised that when I did the first Dead or Alive, I thought, I'm saying this is in past tense. But then when you think about it, obviously Barry Cryer doesn't write any more material for these guys because he's retired.
Yeah.
So when you say, what did he do? Well, before he died, he was an entertainer.
So next one then.
Yeah.
Bill Crosby.
Cosby.
Cosby. He says Crosby, yeah?
That's what you've written.
Edit that out, Kirk.
Okay.
Bill Cosby.
Okay.
Is he dead or alive?
All right, okay.
All got that answer?
Yeah.
Right, and your final one then. June Whitfield. So I think Mark and Kirk knows who she is.
Yeah, who is she?
June Whitfield, which she was in a sitcom with... what was the guy... she was in a few Carry On films. She was also... What were the comedy thing that she were in?
I don't know.
She went. I think she went in Benidorm.
All right. Yeah.
Was she in Benidorm?
I know.
I think she went. Was she in Dinner Ladies as well? With Victoria Wood, or am I thinking of someone else there?
Is it the woman in the wheelchair in Benidorm?
No.
No. She might not be. Listen, I'm making this stuff up, but she might not have been in Benidorm. I'm just thinking in my little head, what was she in that? What were that programme that she were in with?
She weren't in Miss Philippines, was she?
definitely not.
At Bandstand. In Bandstand.
Yeah. June Whitfield. Oh, God, what's it called? Anyway, I'll come back on that. So have you all got answers for these?
Yes. Yeah, got them.
Yeah.
So then we'll go back to the beginning, top one then. So Jimmy Tarbuck, is he dead or alive?
I've said dead.
Okay.
Dead. Yeah, see, I wrote dead, then I changed it to alive because I remember an interview with him recently and he was very upset, but I think he might have died since then. I've put alive.
Was he perhaps upset because he'd died?
Yeah.
So you've put he's alive?
I have.
And he is still alive, Mark. Ooh, well done.
Oh, well done, Mark.
And any idea, guys, how old he may be? I mean, you obviously think he's about 100 and something if you think he's dead. But
I'm going to say
he's 87.
How are we going to say 87? I'm going to say 85. 87.
He's 85, Rob.
Is it?
Oh, well done, Rob.
Well done. But although you said you think he's 85, two minutes ago you said he were dead.
Yeah.
Right, next one then. Ken Dodd.
Dead.
Quite an easy one.
Yeah, he's dead.
Dead.
He's dead. So two questions for you. How old was he when he did die and what year did he die?
I'm going to say 94.
Okay.
And he died...
I think that's when he went to prison.
8 years ago.
Who were this?
Ken Dodd.
Ken Dodd.
I think he died in 2010. And I think he was 86.
I think he died in 2017.
That's what I said. 8 years ago.
Yeah, 2017. Yeah. And I think he were 84.
Well, he died in 2018.
Ooh.
And he was 90.
Ooh.
Yes. So, he's dead. next one then. Barry Cryer.
He's died.
Dead.
Is he dead or alive?
He's dead. Dead. I think it was Jimmy Tarbuck, the interview I watched, when he died. I mean, we were talking about
during the interview?
Yeah, he died as well.
Wow.
During the interview?
No. Yeah, but Jimmy Tarbuck were obviously quite sad when he died.
Okay. Well, Barry Cryer is dead. So, again... two questions for you. How old was he and what year did he die?
It's quite recent, this, I think.
87, 2021.
84, 2020.
I'm going to say 2023 and I'm going to say 88.
You're all close in different ways. So I, instead of me trying to work out who's closer, I'll just tell you. So he died in 2022 and he was 86.
Ooh.
I were miles off.
So... So, next one, Bill Cosby.
Is this number four?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he dead or alive?
He's alive.
Dead.
He's alive, still.
Yeah.
And how old is he?
Oh, 90. 86.
88.
87.
Oh, hey, we're good at this, being close and no cigar, aren't we?
And the last one.
1 year out.
June Whitfield.
I've got alive.
Dead.
Yeah, I've said alive, but I've said alive.
She's still alive?
Yeah!
But how old is she?
94.
92.
90.
You guys are so close, but you never get it right. She's 93.
Oh. Can't possibly.
So, guys.
It couldn't have possibly been close on all that.
I got dead for every one of them. I thought they were all dead.
So guys, that's your dead or alive.
Well
so
done.
Well, what's the result?
I got 4 out of 5.
I got two.
I got 5.
Well done.
Well done, Mark. Well done. Well done, guys. So that's your dead and alive, your entertainment special.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, Mark.
And on that note, it's been a pleasure.
It has. See you next week. See you later, boys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Hello, everyone. The Other Mark here. Don't forget, we have got our first ever live podcast on the 29th of June at the Ball Inn in Thorpe Eslet. That is in Rotherham. It's free admission and it starts at 4 p.m.
Ish.
Enjoy the episode.